Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Theo Epstein joins the Bernstein and McKnight Show now on The Score. Hello, Theo. How are you?
Hey. Morning, guys. How you doing?
We're good. Morning. Just, I saw your statement in the aftermath of the midweek story that popped up based on what Bob Nightingale wrote and then how Joe Madden reacted. I understand that there won't be comment on this. This will not be addressed per what you said. However, you've also talked about being a daily psychologist and understanding that players and their thoughts and their feelings matter. This is, in some ways, a bell that still can't be unrung regarding the narrative. So how does a team and how will you and the Cubs deal with the fact that this is now out there?
No, it's not out there. It's over. I mean, I think it's we're not the type of organization to let the tail wag the dog, right? So like a national writer comes in, misrepresents the situation, and then we have to address it because it's threatening to become some sort of a controversy. Okay, that's fine. But then once we've addressed it, it's over. I mean, there's nothing here. Just to refresh like the background, we spent and I spent an awful lot of personal and organizational capital at great risk to bring Joe in following the 2014 season. Of all the people working in baseball, he was our single choice to run the team. And we brought him in, and it's gone extraordinarily well. Relationships are great. Results are great. The contract has been great for Joe. It's been great for us. Like, things couldn't be better. So just because someone comes in from the outside and misrepresents the situation doesn't mean it has to be an ongoing narrative. It's done. Like, we're not going to address Joe's contract at this time. He knows that. We're on the same page about that. Alan Nero, his representative, is on the same page about that. We're focused on winning. So there'll be a point at some later date when in private we sit down and talk about the future and continue to put our heads together on it. But no, Joe's the manager of the team trying to win games. He's the manager that we want and that we've been extraordinarily successful with. So, you guys certainly have the right to talk about it and people can write about it, but we're not going to let it become an organizational issue. The tail is not going to wag the dog.
So the conversation around that piece has kind of spurred a tangential one. You know, what is a manager worth? You know, what kind of numbers does he provide? How many wins is a guy worth? And I started thinking, I wonder if you and Jed even look at it that way. I'm sure you've got some kind of math on what in-game decisions can bring back to you in terms of value. But I wonder if you guys even look at that sort of the tangible value that way, or if it's so much more than that when you hire an off-field type guy.
No, we don't spend a lot of time quantifying in-game decision-making because it's such a small part of the job, and I think the process is more important than any one individual decision. And I think our job organizationally and Joe's job is to make sure that we have a sound process, that we have the right information, that there's integrity to the information, that it's including all the appropriate factors, excluding the ones that aren't relevant, that he can get it in a timely manner, that he can have it accessible to him at the right time in a form that's easily understandable, that he can process the information along with all the other equally as important outside human factors, emotional factors, environmental factors that go into the decision, balancing short-term in-the-moment factors with long-term length of the season factors, make a decision and go forward, and then we can talk about it afterwards. Like that's way more important than, you know, saving 1/1000th of a run with a decision, you know, at one point in the game that may go one way or may go well or may not go well. So that's how we look at it. It's the process, it's the conversation, it's empowering a manager to have all the info and make decisions, balancing all the relevant factors. And then so much of the job is what happens, you know, before the game and after the game. And you know, that's stuff that people are on the outside aren't quite as privy to. It's all narrative that they read into. And that's part of being a fan and part of being a media member, speculating about that kind of stuff. But the behind the scenes stuff will stay there. And it's what makes, you know, someone from the outside coming in and making stuff up and making judgments about what's going on so irritating, is because, you know, this, the manager's role, the relationships with the players, the relationships with the front office, like that's 24/7 stuff, and it's nurtured and cultivated, and it's hard to go as well as it's gone for the last 4.5 years. And that's something that, you know, that's something that we take as sacred. So when someone comes in and threatens that, it's annoying.
If you will not let the tail wag the dog, and if a lot of this is outside projection that has no tangible effect on the team, why is it that annoying? Why is it so irritating to you?
It's not in the big picture. It's just, you know, we have 25 players busting their tails every day, playing outstanding winning baseball of late. We have the best record in the National League, and you're sitting here asking me about an article that is baseless and a manager who's done an outstanding job and is under contract through next year. So I'd rather be talking about our players and all the things they're doing well and the things that we could be doing better. That's all. It's not that big a deal at all.
It's amazing how different this Cubs team is. Who knew that we would be talking about Daniel Murphy and Cole Hamels and Jesse Chavez and all of these new faces here? So it's going to be decisions will be made when Bryant comes back and when Addison Russell comes back. How do you envision this all working? Because at some point, it's not just about the 162 and saying, you know, we'll find time. At some point, you've really got to make these calls about who you're riding with into the postseason. How is this going to work to make these decisions?
Yeah, I think we'll just continue to do what we've always done, which is we try to always be in a position where we have more quality choices than we have available spots in a given day for a given lineup. And that's what helps you win. That's what not only what helps you get through 162, but it's what helps you win, on a individual game-to-game basis, because we have the ability to customize our lineup and the product that we put out that day for our starting pitcher, for the opponent's starting pitcher, for the environment that the game is being played in that day, for what we want the bench to look like, for matchups that we anticipate happening at key moments of the game. So it's just going to make us stronger. You know, it just means that first pinch hitter that you have in a given spot for a righty who throws, you know, for a four-seam righty is going to be a better choice. The pinch hitter for a two-seam righty or a breaking ball righty is going to be a better choice. The pinch hitter you want for a four-seam lefty or two-seam lefty is going to be better. You're going to have better defensive adjustments that you can make in-game. You're going to be able to give guys more rest. You're going to match up against the starting pitcher that much better. We're going to be able to put that much better defense out there to start the game and especially to finish the game. So it's just continue to do what we always do and what Joe does so well, which is pick the right guys for the right spot. I don't see it at all as a problem. I see it as, you know, a welcome development that we can maybe finally get to full strength and have our full artillery and have an unbelievable roster that makes us feel great about our ability to win games each night. You think back to where we were a couple of weeks ago, we couldn't score except for one solo home run a night, and you're looking for other options. So we're certainly in a better position now than we were then, and we have the chance to maybe finish the year stronger than we've been at any point during the course of the season, and that's what you look for. So I think it's all good stuff.
I imagine a lot of that has to do with the potential return of Chris Bryant, who's now got the two-handed finish on the swing, and he sounds pretty enthusiastic about it. What are the plans for Chris, and how much more minor league action might he need?
Yeah, we'll let the announcement come out of the normal channels with Joe pregame, but we're sort of days away, not weeks, and things continue to progress like this. You know, his return is fairly imminent, and we're excited to have him back. It's he's not limited by the shoulder right now. He's just getting back into playing shape, getting his timing back, and going through that normal overall soreness you get when you haven't put on the spikes and played nine innings for a while. So can't wait to have him back.
What are you thinking about regarding continuing the six-man rotation and maybe buy an extra day here for John Lester, an extra day for Cole Hamels? Is that the right thing to do, or do you want to snap back to a five-man as quickly as possible?
Yeah, no, we took advantage of the fact that we had Alec Mills up here and coming off a good start and throwing strikes, and we were looking for ways to mitigate the impact of 23 games in a row, which is highly unusual for this time of year. So we didn't think it was a good idea for our guys to go through four or five turns through the rotation without a single extra day's rest. And so starting Alec yesterday gave us the ability to do that. And, there's never been any talk of a long-term six-man rotation given where we are. It was just a spot start. And then you look up and one more turn through the rotation will be in September. Where you have the ability to give rest to guys if you're in a certain spot in a bind, or you have the luxury of doing so, you can go to a bullpen game in a given day. But we're back on track with a normal rotation, and come Saturday we'll have an expanded bullpen and lots of options, lots of ability to get guys rest.
Yeah, I suppose you do get a bunch more arms come that September 1. Read that Addison Russell was playing catch and Brandon Morrow was throwing off flat ground. I think I've got both of those guys right. How do their rehabs go right now?
Yeah, no new news on either guy, but going well. Addy wanted to make sure he took full advantage. He had three or four different body parts that could have used a little bit of a break, so we wanted to make sure we gave him some time and that he took full advantage of the rest, expecting him to come back strong and have a really good September. I think the injuries were not only affecting his availability but his performance as well. So we're excited for him to come back at full strength. And Brandon Morrow, because he's dealing with the situation where the more rest he has, the better he'll come back. But we're also running out of time in the season. We're just trying to kind of pick a sweet spot for him where he gets the rest he needs to come back, as strong as he possibly can, as close to 100% as he can, and we're excited about that. So we're just kind of trying to balance the rest that he will have gotten with the need for him to go out and pitch and make an impact for us in pennant race and get locked in for the most important games of the year. But it's progressing well. He feels really good, and we're just trying to massage it so we sort of pick the right schedule for him to come back, but he's feeling good about himself right now.
I'm interested in the words you chose to describe his injury, in that it is something you know for sure you've got sort of bullets in the gun here or sand in the hourglass, that the longer you wait, the more you are going to have in that arm. Is this anything long-term and serious, or is it just whatever acute problem this is will only get better in an offseason?
Yeah, no. It's just it's just a short-term type thing that requires rest, and should be, once he has the benefit of a full offseason, it'll resolve itself. But we're planning to play not just in September but in October, so we're just trying to maximize his impact on our team during that window, and that's what we're doing right now.
So, Theo, a lot of people around the league were really surprised that Daniel Murphy got to the top NL team, that he fell that far in waivers, considering his slash line was 300, 341, and 442 leading up to that. What, I mean, do you wake up and call Jed and ask if you're being spammed by an email or something? Like, I can't believe that you believe that that's going to happen for you when that waiver reaction, when that trade comes, or the claim comes through.
Yeah, I mean, it was somewhat surprising, but it wasn't a total shock. just given the way waivers work, there's a lot of players on waivers every day. You know, the 3.7 million or whatever was left on his contract exactly, that's not a number that a lot of teams can take on, and no team can take on lightly. And in fact, for us, the only reason we were able to take it on is because the Cole Hamels deal was completely CBT neutral. We didn't take on a single dollar on our CBT payroll with Cole Hamels, and that's a complete windfall when that happens. So because of the Hamels deal, we had the room to be able to squeeze Murphy in without, you know, we're not over the CBT, and we weren't going to go over the CBT, and so we were one of the teams, one of the contenders that was able to squeeze him in. You know, teams that are out of it aren't going to claim him because they don't want to take on that money for a free agent. And then so you're left, being a National League player, you're left with a handful of teams that, you know, he's a second baseman who can play some first base, and some of those teams had second basemen. You know, there were other choices on the waiver wire that maybe appealed to some of the other contenders more, either because of fit or money or health or defense. So for whatever reason, he got, you know, he got to us, and he was you know, perfectly timed as well. It was at a point when our offense was scuffling, and we were actively looking for ways to jumpstart the offense, and what better way than with a, you know, an all-around professional elite hitter like Daniel Murphy, who has exactly the kind of at-bats that that we're looking for.
I know you guys had conversations at the top about adding Murphy, given his comments. Laura Ricketts has made her comments regarding that as well. But I don't know if you read the piece in The Athletic today, a Cub fan just kind of dealing with a little bit of discomfort in watching or cheering, I guess. I wonder if that kind of discomfort, that kind of ongoing discomfort from fans is potentially... I don't know if that's a palpable thing for you at that spot in the or at this spot in the year, or palpable for the organization at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have a lot of empathy for our fans in that regard, and I guess I would say like this: I want the ideal, right? Which is for all of our fans with all of their backgrounds and perspectives and outlooks on life to embrace all 25 of our guys, to know all their beliefs and personalities and where they come from, and totally embrace all of them. But that's, you know, as a GM, that would make me feel great. I want our fans to be in love with all of our players and to feel great about everything. But I think that's not the real world, right? Like just as all of our fans have their own unique life experience and backgrounds and personalities and beliefs, our players do too, and different religious backgrounds and different ethnic backgrounds, and rarely are those sort of, you know, simple or portrayed accurately in comments they may make to the press. So I guess while it's an ideal, it's not realistic for me to think that we can completely please everybody all the time with the personnel moves that we make. And so what we focused on is, with this core that we've built, that's, you know, going to be here pretty much playing all together for, you know, for a good run of time, you know, 7 years, hopefully plus, we want strong, compelling personalities, great teammates, folks who care about the fans, who care about each other, who represent the organization well. And it's never going to be perfect, but we do the best we can. And Daniel Murphy is also more than those comments that he made, and has a ton of positive attributes as well. And we did our background on him and the things that have happened since spring of 2015. And I personally called Billy Beane and talked through it with him, and he gave the strongest possible endorsement, not just because Daniel Murphy, has a friend who's gay now. That's not what it is. It's about Murphy's growth and the relationship and the way Daniel sees the importance of inclusion in the game and in the clubhouse. And so all those things matter to us. We do the best we can. We're never going to please everyone all the time. I do think our group as a whole is, a strong character group that our fans can really get behind and feel good about rooting them on. It does sadden me if any move that we make turns fans off, because I think they deserve to really fall in love with this team. And I'll just say that we'll continue to do the best we can. And but again, it's the real world. You're not going to please everyone all the time. Our fans are all different, just as our players are all different, and they all have their own beliefs.
Yeah, I'm glad you said what you said about the way Billy Beane was being involved, because it started to feel a little bit like his name was being invoked almost as a shield, saying, oh yeah, Billy Beane, just keep saying Billy Beane.
I could see how it would be seen that way from the outside, like waving his name around, like,
right.
You know, hey, Daniel Murphy is a gay friend. No, I mean, I talked to Billy Beane about not just the relationship, but about how his views and how things have evolved, and about inclusion. I mean, that's what this is about. I mean, we are an inclusive place. We want everyone to feel welcome, everyone to feel embraced, and if things that were said that led some to question someone's beliefs about inclusion, we wanted to get more information, and we did. And Billy had really strong opinions about it, and that, you know, simply that our clubhouse would be better off, and our organization would be better off for having someone like Daniel Murphy. And he certainly knows Daniel better than I did at the time.
Well,
so that meant a lot to us.
That makes me feel better, because it's the one missing piece that I had, that you used the word evolved, that we still – just if Daniel Murphy could just say, look, I understand now that it's not a lifestyle, and I understand now
– that's up to him. Whether Daniel Murphy wants the Cubs to win, and so that's – you know, that what he wants is to move on and talk about winning. But to me, this is about inclusiveness, and we wanted to find, you know, we talked to Billy Beane because he has had a long relationship now with Daniel, which they've talked about inclusiveness and the importance of it, and he vouched for that, among other things, and it made us feel good about it. So we moved on and made the move. Falling back on my earlier comments, like, you're not going to please everyone all the time, but we don't take these things lightly. There's a lot of thought that went into it, and we're happy he's here.
As we let you go, we sometimes have talked in previous seasons, as in these window seasons, about that exhale moment when it's like, okay, here we go, they're there. It kind of felt like that 7-game win streak would be that exhale moment, but the teams behind you have kind of kept it up. And I'm starting to think that maybe this is just one of those baseball seasons where it's not going to let go, or where it's just going to be this way until you run out the 162, that maybe the expectation of a regular season arrival just isn't realistic. Do you agree?
A regular season arrival.
Yeah, you know, the exhale moment that we've had in the previous years, where you build that cushion and you know that...
Those are the exception, not the rule. I think you're probably referring to 2016 and 2016 alone in recent memory around here, and probably had one of those years in 9 years with the Red Sox. Those are the exception, not the rule, especially when you're in a really competitive division. You know, I think we'd have... In order to get that type of security in the course of a regular season, we'd probably have to change divisions, because this is an extremely competitive division. The Cardinals have had a rebirth and change of atmosphere around their club, which matters quite a bit. The Brewers have been resourceful and found a way to win all year. And last night's game is a great example, crazy game, in which they found a way to win, as they usually do. So those teams aren't going anywhere, and we're preparing to have to fight to the end to win this division. Whoever wins the NL Central this year will have really accomplished something meaningful.
Theo, thank you as always for your time.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Take care.
That is Theo Epstein, the president of baseball operations for the Chicago Cubs. Brought to you by Subway. Check out 3 signature wrap flavors to savor at Subway restaurants. Try the classic style, the turkey Italiano melt. Get yourself some bold taste with the Chipotle Southwest steak and cheese, or enjoy the tangy flavor of the buffalo chicken wrap. Subway, make it what you want. Limited time only at participating locations.
See, that makes sense to me. A lot of that makes sense to me about the conversation we had with him early on about Joe Maddon, that they've created a culture, a clubhouse, a front office, however you want to term it, and it's probably in many different ways. They've created something there where they look around and go, this isn't a thing. And they move on. Like, they've done that before with issues that have been outside, you know, the clubhouse, and they'll continue to do it again. Like you said, the tail's not going to wag the dog. Won't happen that way.
Yeah, it's but they do say that it's irritating and annoying were the words that,
yeah, but
that he used.
Media and, are irritating and annoying.
It's their job to irritate yes. sometimes. Yep. Everybody can be doing. And I do think the fact that he was sensitive to how the invocation of Billy Bean's name sounded as if it were being used to launder Daniel Murphy. I'm glad to know that it certainly was on a much more significant level than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he leaned out there and let us know.
Right.
That was cool.
Yeah. And the other quibble that I would have, I believe, did he just describe Daniel Murphy as a second baseman who also can play first base? I would strike that and reverse it. Just watching him of late, he's looking more and more like a first baseman who happens to play some second
base.
Yeah,
but he hits the hell out of the ball. And if Dan Uggla can make an all-star game at second base, anybody can.
What do you think? 312-644-6767. Your thoughts on Theo Epstein's comments after a tumultuous but highly effective 10 days or so for the Chicago Cubs. You got the Bernstein and McKnight Show on The Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.